Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Top of the show, I mentioned this. I said, you know, okay, so if you look at young people ages 18 to 29 that are part of the what's driving the rise in some regions, and how do you influence that generation? If you think back to when you were 20, when you were 22, that's an age when you like to socialize, when you want to meet people, you're likely dating, you're probably living in a cheap, tiny apartment, or you have roommates, multiple roommates, that you want to get out and socialize. How do you influence those groups, that group of people, that demo, to not do that 5 months into a pandemic? It's tough. It's tough. And college campuses are finding that that is a very difficult thing to do, to influence behavior, telling people to stay cooped up and, you know, not really interact with others. You just saw, let me see here, I've got this one. Loyola Academy just closed due to COVID-19 cases, and they said that the students likely contracted the virus at social gatherings off campus. So they shut down all the stuff on campus, the sports and all that stuff. But then they traced them back to some off-campus gatherings that's happening there. Notre Dame, I mentioned that at the top, too. They, just a couple days into the term, fall term, they had, I thought, 448 cases. We just got a text from 574. Notre Dame had 30 more cases. 478 total, mostly undergrads. I live here as well, very cautious when I venture out. That's a listener in the South Bend area talking about what's happening there. There again, Notre Dame says that the most infections that they've tracked or been able to trace back stem from two off-campus parties thrown by seniors. So that's all happening. And in Syracuse University, did you hear what they did there? They had these like draconian, really harsh policies that they put in place to try to get students to not do that, to not gather, to not have parties off campus or on. In fact, they said that it's, you risk being suspended if they find out that you're at a party. And yet there was a party, a big one. They just suspended 23 students after what they call an incredibly reckless gathering. And it's where they haven't even opened campus yet. But it was, I guess, first-year students in this case, whatever, doesn't matter. But they're saying they shut down everything before classes even begin because they're now tracing a growing number of cases from that. I heard a Harvard University official quoted, he said the dorms are like cruise ships, too. So the dorms are a problem. That's what his impression was. And remember, at Harvard, you pay $63,000 a year and you get to do classes from your dorm room. You don't get to go to a class at all. So that's where the kids are. And that's what's happening there. My next guest has an interesting viewpoint. She is probably one of the people least surprised by all these cases. And this is Liz Willen. She's an editor-in-chief at the Hechinger Report, which is a nonprofit news outlet. She's covered education for a long time. Her piece that she wrote about this, it has been picked up by a number of different papers, including the Washington Post. And Liz, thanks for calling in to WGN this afternoon.
I'm really glad not to be a college student or a college administrator today.
That's my point. You know, that's my point. It feels like you go back to when you're 22 and you think about how hard it would be. I'm not judging. I'm not indicting that generation. I'm saying that think about being that age again and the kinds of things you want to do and then say, okay, stay at home, coop yourself inside, only hang out with one or two people who you know are being extremely cautious and keep doing that indefinitely. It's a tough message to sell.
Yeah, and we know that's a lost cause. I mean, just today at Ohio State, they had 228 students that are getting interim suspensions for violating rules against large gatherings. And, I mean, first of all, I think a lot of this behavior was entirely predictable. But what really bothers me is the students that I've been speaking to who are extremely serious students who came to college. College is so expensive right now. Tuition in many cases, as you pointed out, upward of $60,000, a cost of a year of college with everything can now cost for a four-year college can cost upwards of $80,000 a year with everything. They come back to campus with all of their things. They're moving in during a pandemic. They know it's risky, but they want to finish their educations. And then the next thing you know, they're kicked out. And I think in this case, it's super important not to just blame a few partying students. Higher education can't pretend that they didn't know this virus was growing and was going to be easily spread at dorms, sorority parties, hallways, classrooms, non-ventilated areas. So the colleges that opened and are now turning around and blaming, oh, it's all the students' fault because they're having parties. You remember what it was like to be at that age. I think they have a lot to think about as well, because it's not as if it wasn't quite clear that this trend was accelerating and it was going to be dangerous in many cases.
Liz, can you hang on a second, because I do have to pause, but I want to ask you about this, because I wonder, even if they didn't go back to school, isn't that sort of age group? My point is that I feel as if they were going to find a way to sort of get together. Anyway, privately, people, kids of people I know will share with me, look, we are doing this. We all summer long, we were doing this. We are getting together. And I want to ask your thoughts about that. And then how does education continue in the absence of a vaccine? How do you do it? And is e-learning the answer? I want to circle back with that in just a second here on WGN. Talking about college campuses and what they're doing to try to control the spread of the virus, how they're managing it. You know, I actually mentioned Notre Dame and Loyola Academy leading into this, and I just want to say I do give them credit for transparency. There are some students and some parents I'm hearing from who are saying they're finding it difficult to figure out if there are cases on campus, and so it's, you know, that kind of transparency can really help, of course, but it doesn't take away the problem of what we're seeing on some college campuses. Liz Willens, the editor-in-chief of Hechinger Report, that's a nonprofit news outlet, her article she wrote, "Welcome to College, the virus is winning, so please quarantine or go home," has been picked up by multiple news outlets, and is people are just looking at what you had to say, Liz, and I feel like, is that working on some college campuses? Are you seeing that there's somebody's doing this right?
Well, some of them have just arrived, like in the last week or so, and I think a small private school in a rural area is going to have a far greater chance of success. But there's a lot of disasters right now, too. If you look at University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa, they just closed the bars there for 2 weeks. That's it. No going to bars, period. They have over 500 cases. So if you're returning to a state that's already had extremely high numbers and where the virus has been spreading rapidly, and also where there's been a lot of pressure to reopen and people aren't following directions, not wearing masks and kind of ignoring it, you're going to be in big trouble. I personally would want to not send a kid back to college in that environment. One of the things that I've spoken to parents about who are really upset is you drop your kid off at college, you're carrying the twin extra long sheets and the dorm bed, all of the accoutrements, and you cry and you say goodbye, and it's the whole, you know, college experience, and then you're, a few weeks later, a few days later, at UNC Chapel Hill, you're getting a call, oh, there's coronavirus, come back and pick up your kid. Now, you don't have, your kid has no place to stay. In many cases, you're on the hook for off-campus housing for a year, if you're even able to get that. If you can't get off-campus housing, what to do then? And on top of that, and I've heard this from parents at Notre Dame, what do? Your kid comes home and has coronavirus. Now the whole family's at risk. So I think that the replications here are so far, there are so many of them. Each decision is far more difficult because of the consequences.
You know, Liz, you've covered education for a long time, and I look at it, and I wonder if just reasonable minds on universities, too. I mean, some people say, oh, it's all about the money. They want to get the college kids on campus, or else they're going to withdraw and not pay. I don't know. That maybe that plays into some decision-making. There's also this issue that the college experience is about much more than just doing tests and reading and completing tasks and the academic piece of it, right? I mean, we think back to any of us and our academic experiences or college experiences. You know, it's about sharing thoughts. It's about joining clubs. It's about getting together and mixing and mingling with other folks. And I just wonder, you know, are you an advocate of all e-learning across colleges?
Absolutely. No, I would say, I think that's been a real problem. Truthfully, when anyone asks my advice, I say gap year. Take a gap year. If you wanted this is not the college experience you had signed up for or paying for. But I think that what's difficult here is you're exactly right. The college experience is not sitting online taking classes. A lot of students I've spoken to during this pandemic who are trying to weigh whether they should go to college, they just graduated from high school, and the rest of their high school year is online. So now they've missed their graduation, they missed their prom, they're taking all of the rest of their high school online, and the one thing they had to look forward to is going off to college, and then they find out that, oops, that's going to be online too. And a couple of them said, if I'm going to be just sitting in front of a computer screen in my living room, why would I want to go? And they're also being charged in many cases full tuition for that experience. Online learning has a long way to go to be successful and to captivate students in the same way that in-person small seminars and all of the other experience that come with being a college student can offer.
You know, it's interesting because the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is actually the scientists there, and it's known for its incredible engineering program and math program and the kind of stuff they do there. Just they're splitting atoms every day, in my view. And one of the things they're doing, have done, is they've created this saliva test that has now been fast-tracked by the FDA, and they've got emergency approval because it's quick. It gives you a result. It's cheap. It gives you results in, I think, less than an hour. And they're requiring all the students on campus to get that test twice a week, trying to stem the tide of cases there. I don't think every university has that sort of testing capability, but some are saying that that kind of thing could be a game changer in terms of allowing schools to open up a little more. If you can test like that, maybe that would make a difference in terms of the comfort level and even the safety level.
Absolutely. That could be a game changer, and I think people are looking forward to those kinds of innovations to make a difference. But I think we're a ways off from that. You don't have that immediately. We have no idea when exactly we can count on a vaccine. But right now, colleges are in a tremendously difficult financial situation as well. If they're a state institution, in many cases their legislature is cutting their budgets. You've had big struggles with that in Illinois. And also, if they're a private school, their main source of revenue is tuition. Their source of revenue, tuition, and also athletics. And as you know, that's been fraught as well with a lot of football players and athletes coming down with the virus. So two things that bring in revenue, students and big sporting events, are now both on the line and in danger. So colleges are in a tough situation. The enrollment is declining. They're concerned about their value, especially in the Midwest. We've seen a lot of struggling campuses, and they thought by reopening they can sort of preserve their brand, but instead, in many cases, what they're doing is ruining it, because once you're told to pick up your kid at campus and, you know, you got to go back, the school year is over, it's now online, it's kind of hard to feel a lot of goodwill towards a university that opened, especially when the numbers were showing, hey, coronavirus is on the rise.
You know, I've also heard from people who live in campus towns, and they say that they're concerned because you have people from all over the place and hotspots coming to campus and then, you know, sort of there in their town, and that was an issue as well, because I don't know. I'd heard from some students in the family who got tested as they went back to schools, or they had to present a test in advance. I don't know if that was, you know, kind of widespread or the most common experience. Is that what you've heard? You had to present some sort of negative test before you showed up?
In some cases you did, but also you have to remember we don't have testing right in this country either. You did bring that great example up of what they're trying to do in Illinois, but I know here in New York it took us 18 days in one case to get our test results back. So if you even test somebody before they go off to college, you could be sending them well before you have any results. And again, the spread and the way that this can create damage to all kinds of families, to professors, to older people, to the more vulnerable, it doesn't take a lot, as we've seen in the last few weeks and months. So it's really daunting for colleges to open, and I'm surprised that so many of them were willing to say, come on back to campus, and some of them still are opening. Tuscaloosa hasn't closed down yet. More than 500 cases. That's a big number. I believe that was 13% of the population there. These are not not conducive to a healthy reopening that will make people feel comfortable about starting classes and being back on campus to anything resembling college life as we've once known it.
Well, I think that's the thing too. When you talk to students privately, they wonder, when will I ever get the college experience again? When is that going to happen? You know, they doubt that that's even in the near term future.
And they're spending more and more to go. Tuition has never gone anywhere but up. I mean, we are talking now about four-year campuses. The majority of U.S. students don't go to the four-year colleges. Many are in community colleges. They're non-traditional students. They're adults. The population I'm also terribly concerned about is the community college parent who has maybe three kids at home, and maybe the kids are going to be remotely learning this fall as they were in the spring, and that parent is trying to juggle a job and their college courses and their kids' education at once. So this is a lot more than just an issue about, you know, fraternity parties spreading the virus. This is a real threat to education in every way, in every form.
815 here says, what is the risk of death if a college student gets the coronavirus? I don't know the number, thank you. From what I've heard, that there isn't a huge percentage death rate attached to that generation. I think there's an issue that they spread it is part of the problem.
That is, but we've also seen a lot of cases where young, otherwise healthy people got the virus and have died. That's happened in the music world, in the acting world. Nick Cordero, who is a Broadway star, and it's very unpredictable. No one understands yet exactly how the virus works. We do know a little bit more about how it's spread, but it's a really frightening time, and I do feel for these kids and for their families and for everyone trying to go through. This it's complex. It's hard for the colleges to make decisions, but it's hard for me to imagine not erring on the side of safety first, safety and health first, of the campus, of the community, of the professors, of the students, and of the students' families. It seems to me that should be the primary factor in all of the decision making.
Liz, just a few seconds here before gotta let you go here, but we've got a question from a listener. Is there any talk of the universities refunding students for tuition or partially for their tuition? Say if they're not comfortable and they do want to take that gap year that you suggest, what are you hearing there?
Well, I'm hearing from a lot of parents who are asking that very same question, and I think the answer is college. It depends on the school. I know some schools have discounted tuition a bit, not a lot of them, but some of them have. Others have been open and encouraging about gap years or about taking a semester off, or if others have put a quota on it. So I don't think there's one strong answer, but I certainly know that a lot of parents and students want to know if they can get their money back or at least pay less.
Yeah.
No question.
No question. I'm sure that is a question that a lot of people are thinking about right now as they consider all the things and weigh all the risks and that sort of things, especially
yeah.
if they start closing stuff down that they thought was open. That's when you start asking them again. Liz,
I mean, it's just really hard to pack and show up and unpack and start classes and decorate your dorm and then, boom, time to go home.
Bye-bye. Right. Liz, thank you for your time and your thoughts this afternoon. It was an amazing article. People want to see it. It's at the Hechinger Report,
Report, Hechinger Report. You pronounce it, what the heck? Hechinger Report. Yep,
what
we're in
heck?
New York City.
Thank you. Thanks, Liz. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, you. Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.